Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to Rich Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. My guest is Susie Dent this week. Yes, it's going to be a classy one where we talk about words, but I imagine mainly about rude words. That's my guess. If you like these, why not come and see me on tour and see me do some proper stuff, which I've written, and I'm not just fucking around and making up. Go to richardherring.com/gigs and you can see all my upcoming gigs. I'm doing a tour called The Best, Richard Herring The Best, which will be on through the autumn and the spring of 2017. If you're listening to this after that, go to the gig guide and see if I'm doing a different show. If you're listening to this well in the future, hopefully, and I'm dead, just pull a sad face as you listen to this. You don't have to do anything. All right, let's listen to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre Bugger. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who, since last week, has had sex with a baboon, and Vic Reeves was right, is Richard Herring. Very much. Had some trouble with the microphone backstage there. Professional, I covered it. No one noticed. Welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Welcome to another episode of Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. But I was down at the petrol station and the other day, and there's a kid's drinking Quattro. I don't know if you. It's four different flavours of in one drink. They called it. They said, "Hey, you're the guy from Rehearsal to Purse." I don't know if that's a thing. So you're much better than last week's audience. I said they were rubbish. So it's. We've got David Frew there alone. None of his. It's a very. It's not like the kind of top you usually wear, David. Is this a new thing you've got? I've had it for months. It's very. You look very nice. It's very trendy. Next week I'm gonna say I was with David Frew, the nuclear physicist, wearing his little top. It's nice. So you're still wearing the same shirt as last week. I'm the god of tits and wine. Vic Reeves. We're hoping Vic Reeves will be back. you've featured a lot, haven't you? It's because you sit in the front row. And there's a man with... I like this man because his T-shirt says idiot. And that is the kind of person who should be at the show. We'll see if there's anyone else I can check. This is a new gentleman and lady. Are you? Have you been before? Yeah, okay. Have you been before? Yeah, of course, yeah. What's your name?
Horseshoe.
Horseshoe. Doesn't sound like the kind of name that we are allowed in our country anymore. by this stage. So, well, I don't really like doing that joke. I did that joke last week, and now I sort of feel, oh, God. What do you do for a living, or she?
I'm working for a law firm.
You're working for a law firm? Coming over here. Taking jobs that none of us could do. Because we're too fucking stupid. We're the stupidest country, aren't we? You're from here, aren't you? Stupidest people in the world, aren't we? Have you ended up with this lovely lady? Okay, oh, that's nice. It's nice, this well-pressed shirt. Do you press your own shirts? Who does the ironing? Do you do the ironing? You're working at a law firm. Where'd you get them done? Did your mum do it? It's what? The cleaner. Wow, look at that. Fuck, it's my... It's got a cleaner. Ooh la la. I've got one too as well. No, they'll be sent back as well, won't they? So... Oh, God. It was funny because it's true. We'll crack straight on. My guest this week, I'm very excited about, because I love words. And you will know her from her... She's best known for her appearance on Nevermind the Full Stops, which has come up a few times on this show. Please welcome Susie Dent, ladies and gentlemen. Come on in, Susie. Come in, sit down. Pull up a microphone.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good. Do you remember being on Nevermind the Full Stops?
I do.
God, I hate...
Did
I was
you
on,
do that?
I was on it. I hated that show. You were only on one episode.
Yeah, I was only on one.
Wasn't
I was
your
only
show.
Invited on one. No, it was exactly my show.
It was. Did you come up with it?
No.
No, good.
No, exactly.
I hated the guy. I hate Julian Fellowes.
Do you?
Only from being on Nevermind the Full Stops.
He does know everything, and he gets very cross about things.
Yeah,
well.
Exactly. You'd be good at that, though.
No, I had a big argument with him about the Oxford comma.
Did
I remember.
You?
Yes.
Yeah, the bloody Oxford comma. Yeah, what's the Oxford comma?
The Oxford... It was a song by the Vampire Weekend.
Okay.
By Vampire Weekend. The Oxford comma, do you really want me to say?
Yeah,
the
I do, because this is what this show is going to be like.
So, does anybody else know what the Oxford comma is?
Yes. Oh, you know that, do you? You know anything about Louis Bunuel? I mean, I would imagine. I obviously know as well, but for the viewers and the listeners at home.
Okay, the Oxford comma is the serial comma. So it's the comma that is drummed out of us at school that you put before and.
Okay.
And it makes absolute sense, but trust me, it can be boring to anybody but me.
Well, this is where we're going to be all the way through. I didn't enjoy Nevermind the Full Stops, I have to say.
Okay.
So, you're a lexicographer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sort of, yeah.
So, had to look that up. Though I think you're a sexy-cographer.
Yay.
And there is no word of that, because there's never been a sexy one before. So there's... You're the first. When I was at school, I liked to go into the school library.
Yes.
And get the dictionary out and look up the rude words. Like bum.
Yeah.
And fart. Then laugh. Fart. And look up something.
In my dictionary, it's always a windy escape backwards. That's how it's... I think it's been updated a bit.
It's a weird thing, because when you're a kid, you're only looking up words that you already know. If you're looking up rude words, you're unlikely to chance across... So it's like just affirmation of what you already know, isn't it, when you're doing that? But I remember it being a thrilling... Is that why you wanted to become a...
No, I started off in completely different areas. I started off in French and German. I mean, essentially, I was born to be a geek. I always, always wanted to be very sporty.
Yeah.
I tried my hands at so many sports. I was brilliant at 60 metres and then was always sick. And I realised that it probably wasn't going to be for me. But I remember even in assemblies being really excited when they read out house captains and sports captains. And I desperately wanted to be a sports captain. And I was always chief librarian, which for me was just... There was the deportment cup as well. I once won the deportment cup to sit up. But yeah, that's how sad I was, and I couldn't really escape it. So anyway, I always loved dictionaries, but French and German ones.
Right.
And so I was always the one sitting in the back of the car with a vocabulary book, just swatting up on German phrases.
That's good. These people are nerds. So this is, they all identify. They're all just sitting there feeling good about themselves once. so...
But when you're working and it's your job, how much of the day do you spend looking up rude words in the dictionary now?
Rude words?
Yeah.
Well, the thing about me and rude words is that I don't... if you ask Rachel Riley, who I work with, she will say, I know the dictionary... I know everything in the dictionary, which I don't, but apart from the rude words. Right. So when something like growler, for example, came up, Nick said to me, what's a growler? And I said, it's a personal thing that growls.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Rachel was just off or crouched over. And Nick and I often just operate at this level, and Rachel's on a completely different one. So famously... I was doing in my origin of words section, if you've ever seen it, I decided to jazz things up a bit, and it was we record five shows a day and three in 3 day blocks, so by the 15th show we are on our knees, and I thought, right, this is the one I'm going to do the history of underwear, the vocabulary of underwear. And I got through suspenders and stockings, and you know, Nick was looking interested. And then I got to the teddy, and which Nick was, do you know what a teddy is?
I do know what a teddy is.
You know what a teddy is. And Nick was looking really bemused by this. I said to him, Nick, I don't suppose you've ever come across a teddy. And Martin Lewis was sitting next to me. He disappeared. But I just carried on regardless. Nick and I were just both having an entertaining discussion about underwear, but everybody else was, yeah. So that's the thing about me. I mean, I remember the farting one.
Yes.
I remember coming across, I tweeted about this recently, a thorough cough.
Okay.
Which is when you cough and fart at the same time.
Okay.
That's from the 1800s, so they liked it even then. And... I mean, now every single rude word is in the dictionary. Yeah. I'd love to do a programme about history of swear words.
What is the rudest word in the world?
The rudest word?
Yeah, I want to see if I've heard it.
Okay, well, if you ask my daughter, my youngest, who goes through in the supermarket the other day, literally she was saying, Mum, what's the P word? And she thought that the C word was not even crap, she thought it was carp. It was very sweet. So I haven't disabused her of that.
Yeah.
And she was told that the B word was blistering as well. So, that, but obviously those aren't rude. What's the rudest word? Well, if you go back to... that, one of my favourite dictionaries is called the Classical Dictionary of the Vulgar Tongue. Excuse me, I can't even say it. Classical Dictionary of the Vulgar Tongue, which was written by this this man called Francis Gross, and he had been a soldier, and soldiers are well known for their swearing habits. And he was gross by sort of stature as well as gross by nature, but he was an amazing person. He used to go out at night and visit all the brothels and gambling dens and taverns. You know, he lived at the same time as Samuel Johnson. Johnson just looked to the literary giants, and Gross just hung out with the highwaymen and the cut purses and the, you know, the thieves and the prostitutes. Anyway, he came up with this dictionary, which is wonderful, fantastic. And if there's many, many rude, what kind of rude words as you were likely to find. Yes, quite rude, actually. But just funny, like blind cupid was slang for a bottom.
Right.
It was funny. Bread and butter was the missionary position. They talk about bread and butter. Lots of sexual positions in that dictionary. And lobcock I quite like as well.
Okay.
Lobcock is just the biggest insult of the 1800s, and it literally means relaxed penis.
Okay.
But yes,
I've got
somebody
lob
a lobcock.
That's now means an erection, though, doesn't it? I've got a
lobcock. See, I told you, I don't know all this stuff.
Well, now I'm coming to damn myself. I thought I knew everything there was to know about. I like they used to call in medieval times. They used to call a skirt a fuck sail.
The first reference of that is in a surname in the Oxford English Dictionary. So in that, I think it's in the 1400s, there was somebody called Roger Le Windfuck.
Right.
That was the first, literally the first evidence we have of
and
the,
that
of the word
come
fuck.
From that, the like having sex?
Well, that was also, I think even today, a windfucker is a hawk.
Right.
So, because they, you know, they sort of ride the waves.
Okay, they do.
Not the waves, you know, the air.
air waves.
But yeah, lots of words, like bilberry as well. There was somebody called Gustavo Bilberry or something. Anyway, lots and lots of surnames give us our first words. Herring, maybe, as well. You never
herring.
Know. Yeah.
It's a good name. There's nothing funny about the random herring. It does. I think it means herring means penis somewhere because I think I've worked. Because I'm my first name's Dick and my second name's Herring. So when I was writing my book Talking Cock, which has a lot of euphemisms for penis in it, if you want to check that out.
Did you have
out.
Lobcock in there?
Did I have
lobcock?
I didn't know.
No, okay.
I didn't go medieval. I just, you know, there was enough I'd made up.
You should.
Because I've tried, you know, there's a brilliant thing called the Viz Profanosaurus. Have you seen Viz Profanosaurus?
Yes, I have a copy.
I like that kind of poetry of the gutter, and it's sort of more... I'd read your article about Johnson and Gross.
So you knew about that.
I did know a little bit about that, but only from researching for this.
But they weren't always considered so rude, that's the thing. Yeah. And that, you know, so even like our most taboo words... I think fuck has always been quite rude, and the C word always quite rude.
What's the C word?
Carp.
Carp, okay. Carp.
But some of them really weren't considered too rude, and it's just modern sensitivities.
Well, it is, but it's weird that they're all just words. So, like, I love playing Scrabble, and obviously I love Countdown as well, obviously. But, you know, what I quite like about Scrabble is, or just if it's in the dictionary, it counts, so it doesn't matter... You know, it can be the most horrible word that you would never say. All that matters is it's a word and it scores some points.
Yeah.
And there's a kind of equality to that. So it's kind of odd by making a word rude, you give it a power that doesn't exist.
It's a fascinating subject, as you say. Yeah, yeah. It is
so
this word.
It's so only by being offended by it that you give it the power. So if you weren't offended by those words, they wouldn't have any power. So it's sort of interesting. If I worked on a dictionary like you do in the dictionary world,
because
I play Scrabble, I would just put loads. I'd make up loads of new words that would be good for Scrabble. Like VU would be a good one.
Meaning?
Well, whatever you like. It doesn't matter. It doesn't care as long as it's just a word. A VU, a word that doesn't mean anything but is there, so it'll be useful for Scrabble. That's a VU.
Can you
stick that in? Because I hate having U and V in Scrabble. They're bad in Countdown as well.
They are. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll see what I can do.
Okay.
Yeah.
If I want to get a word in the dictionary, what do I have to do? Because I've got a word called cumpkin that I would like to get in the dictionary.
I knew that would come up.
Which is a thing that I accidentally created. Well, it's actually, there is a definition online. I was talking about pumpkins in the show and I accidentally said cumpkin. And then I imagined what that might be. And what it is, as it turns out, is a pumpkin that five men have ejaculated into. And then... Then a woman puts
Why
on her
five?
Head. I mean, five or more. It's got to be several men. Why five?
And then a woman puts it on her head.
Puts it on her head, yeah. So it's like a pumpkin for it that you would have in Halloween.
Have you ever put a pumpkin
on
your head?
And then you put it on your head and it's full of, you know, ejaculant.
Ejaculate.
How would I get that into the dictionary? Because I don't think it's in at the moment, but I've used it now in two different podcasts.
Yeah, so I think you've got to do a lot more than that.
Okay,
democracy is all, so it's all about usage. So get millions and millions of people using it in lots of different contexts, and then give me a call.
You're encouraging me to get people to put pumpkins on the head, really? Is what
No, I think maybe just always figurative, don't you think? Just use it figuratively.
Okay.
I can't see there's going to be a fashion for pumpkins.
Okay. And
he's not accepting that.
I think it'll be there. When I write a Metro column, every now and again, I try to get as many new euphemisms for whatever I'm writing about in. So I want to try and get some of these in. Okay. The one I wrote this week is about toilet seats, and these are some things I came up for new words for toilet seats. Vomiting man's noose.
Right.
Arse Stargate, or it could be Arse Gate.
Yes.
Bum holder, I mean, that's just obvious. And then Crap Gap and Shit Slit. So, again, can I get that? Can you put
you
those in?
You probably could. I mean, again, going back to the, you know, 200 years ago, vomiting had loads and loads of euphemisms. So you could flash the hash or shoot the cat.
Yeah.
Or if you had a vice admiral, an admiral of the narrow seas is if you're really, really drunk and are sick in your companion's shoes. And if you're a vice admiral of the narrow seas is when you pee into your companion's shoes because you're that drunk. It's not very nice. But this was 200 years ago. So, and lose loads of euphemisms.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? That's what I like about Vispafanosaurus. It's basically 10,000 definitions of seven things. I mean,
it's the same. That's true. Yeah. Any slang dictionary would be the same. Yeah, sex, drugs, money, sex.
Farting,
parts of the body.
It's interesting. So, look, I think you might have been on TV more than anybody in the country because my memory is that you've always been on Countdown, but that's not true, is it? You came into Countdown
I didn't. I wasn't on it from the start.
And you weren't on it all the time, even when you started?
No, I really wasn't. There was a whole team of us who rotated, and many people wished that was still the case.
I don't think that's the case.
No, I bet they
did. But basically, since 1993-ish or something when you
Well, full-time, only since 2003.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was rotating. back in 1992 was my first.
Do you think anyone's
thing.
Been on TV more than... Because you've been on like 3,000 times maybe on Countdown, something like that.
Yeah. I'm sure there are some people. I used to think it was me and the clock left in the Countdown team, and now the clock's been replaced. So I'm not sure that's very good. Alan Titchmarsh, maybe?
No, he's done about 200.
See?
Yeah.
desperately
it's
trying
to
think.
It's amazing to have that. As you say, like you're the only person in Countdown, you're the longest surviving person. Some of them haven't survived, literally, but mostly...
most I love Richard.
Yes, well, Richard Whiteley is an amazing man. He's the only person, like, apart from royalty or a politician or something. When he died, I was in the shop on the Uxbridge Road in Shepherd's Bush, and a man turned to me who I didn't know and said, "Richard Whiteley's died."
Oh.
And, like, you know,
he'd
stranger.
Yeah.
And it was, like, one of those moments in the country where people could turn
you
to
remember.
It was like Princess Diana dying, Richard Whiteley dying. It was, very, you know, it was a big surprise, and obviously it must have been terrible for you, but he was a hilarious man on
He was. I mean, Richard wore his heart on his sleeve, so if he was grumpy, you definitely knew it. but equally, he was just very funny, very, very sweet. Taxi drivers in Leeds hated him for some reason. I have not met a taxi driver in Leeds who... I think he used to literally get in the back of the cab and say, "Take me home," because they'd know where he was. But I think that's about it.
Yeah.
But he... there was a memorial service for him in York, and that was very emotional, very emotional, and just littered with people who had these fantastic memories. And he was also incredibly good journalist, so he interviewed every single prime minister bar Harold Wilson, I think, in his lifetime.
Right.
So he was a really good parliamentary journalist.
Yeah.
And spectacularly bad at puns, as we all know. but lovely man. Yeah, just a grumpy one sometimes.
Which is your least favourite Countdown host?
Oh, no! I can't possibly comment.
Yeah.
No, we used to... I loved Des Lynam, who can't love Des?
But it's a hard job. People, it gets through them once after Whiteley went. There's been quite a big turnover of people not being able to cope with the demands of hosting Countdown.
Yes, I think I think Des just found the travelling too much, and he didn't need to do it really because he was close to retirement then anyway. Jeff just decided to focus on sport, although he's now doing a quiz show, so I don't know what that says about us. But and Des O'Connor would far prefer to be in front of the audience singing for an hour and a half, which he used to do regularly, than actually sitting in the Countdown chair. He is a performer.
Yeah. Out of all the, because I often think with a lot of those quiz shows, you must, like, Deal or No Deal.
Yeah.
That must be hard to go into work every day, don't you think? Being Noel Edmonds. I mean, it must be quite hard being Noel Edmonds. But to go into work every day and think, oh, God, I've got to pretend that I give a fuck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whereas at least Countdown, like, there's loads of different people.
It's the biggest cliche in the world, but it is like a family. So many people have been there since the beginning.
Sure.
And we have a real laugh. We really do. And I still get really nervous. If we've been out, because we haven't been in studio now for a few weeks, when I go back, I will still be very nervous.
Right.
And I'm being beaten quite a lot at the moment because we have some fantastic people in.
Right.
But that's the honesty of the show. So, you know, we're not. I have an earpiece. I can say this publicly because there's been so much rubbish about me and the earpiece. We all have earpiece. Actually, Rachel doesn't have an earpiece. And the gallery plays along too, but we will never, ever use a computer.
Right.
As in, on my laptop, I don't have an anagram finder or anything.
Right.
So frequently we don't get the longest word.
You usually do. I think there's only been once or twice I've kind of thought, I've thought of one that they haven't thought of.
Yeah, no, I
regularly
get tweeted.
I'm not as good at Countdown as I am at Scrabble.
Scrabble?
Yeah.
There you are, an ace at Scrabble, aren't you?
I'm all right at Scrabble.
Yeah.
But I'd be better if BU was in there. I'm extremely competitive, and I always lose at everything, apart from Scrabble.
Yeah. I don't play Scrabble because... Yeah. This is my story, and I'll stick to it. But because the dictionaries are so different, that I would just get very confused as to what was allowed when. So I never play it. Even sometimes in sort of deep secrecy, I'll play it with my family. But anybody could beat me at Scrabble. That's just a big confession. People think I'll be amazing, but actually I'll be really rubbish.
But
Colin Murray's beat me famously. Right. So he thrashed me so much, he's still got the score sheet on his fridge. Yeah.
Do you learn? Do you try and learn the like words for countdown though, or do you just, you know, do you think, oh, that would be a good word for countdown, I'll remember that? Or
yeah, I try. Yeah. I try and remember those, but also obviously it's very circular, so anyone who gets bored by the show would say yes, it's very circular. But no, it is. So the same words come up again and again. And I love my laptop now. Don't know if everyone was really gutted when we moved from the printed dictionary. Maybe me. I was the one talent in life was that I could look a word up really quickly. Yeah. I had the biggest dictionary flicking finger in the world.
Yeah.
And now even that's gone.
And I just, that's one of my euphemisms over there. So,
I knew that was what I was saying. Yes.
Yeah. I saw the guy, one of the guys from Eggheads. I don't like Eggheads. I wouldn't have any of them on. I might have had CJ on just to ask him about the murder and stuff. But have you ever murdered anyone by pushing them into a canal?
No.
No. So if you had done and then you admitted, that would be a story there. But God, he'd be quite interesting to have on, but I don't like them. But Kevin from Eggheads, I once saw in Pizza Express, eating on his own, just learning facts. From
really?
Yeah. And that is the kind of commitment that makes him the chief egghead.
So. I've got to do the chase quite soon. Have you seen?
Have you?
Is that terrifying?
I haven't done it, but okay. I think it's quite. I quite like that. I prefer Pointless, so I kind of watch Pointless. So
have you been on Pointless?
I can't really remember. It's not something certainly not something I would mention if I'd been on it. Been on it a couple of times. Yeah, I haven't. I was on. Have you done Celebrity Mastermind? Should you do that?
Yeah, you done it? You were brilliant. No, I asked a few times, and I just thought the only way I can go is down. But it's the learning, isn't it? It's a specialist subject, so you do genuinely have to swat up on
you
that.
You do have to swat up, but you're very clever, so you could. Is it too much of a? Is that your worry that people think you're going to be super clever? So
that's my worry with the chase as well, because it's general knowledge.
The chase is sort of. They are, some of it's just difficult, but you can usually take a punt. They give multiple choice on the other ones.
Okay,
the first ones.
I need to watch some telly, really.
Yeah. It's quite hard, I think, the chase, and it's quite hard to beat the chaser, so you don't have to worry, right?
Okay.
You can't really win it. It's Paul Sinner, we've had him on.
I went out in the first round of Pointless as well.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
I was with Dan Snow.
What went wrong on Pointless?
Well, Graham Garden was what went wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think the question was, name a country beginning with S-E-C-O-L-I, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. It was S-E, yeah. And Liechtenstein, that was my... I mean, talk about swatting up. Yeah. Every single person there had learned, I don't know, 50, 100 stats, because they knew what was going to come up anyway.
Yeah.
She says defensively. And this came up, and Liechtenstein, I was like one of those persons in that we have to wait for your turn. And Graham Garden said Liechtenstein. Pointless answer. I hadn't even thought I'd needed a backup because I was so proud of Liechtenstein. And
Liberia.
Then I said Senegal. Right. Which was 50 or something. And then Dan said Cook Islands, which aren't a country. So but I was literally on there for 5 minutes.
Other person letting you down. That's the vibe.
No, I think he went for broke because I let him down. So, yeah.
The Cook Islands is a country. Doesn't begin with L-I, though.
No, C-O was on there.
Oh, C-O was allowed.
Yeah.
Okay. I love quizzes. That's why
I can tell.
I'd quite like to... Well, I'm quite old already, but... I'm looking forward to being 70, so I can
just
spend
sitting.
All day watching quizzes. Like
are you
point?
The sort
you
of person?
Go on Tipping Point.
No,
you'd be great on that.
Would I?
Yeah, because it's easy.
Tipping Point,
and it's just the stuff falling off a ledge.
Okay, I haven't seen that one.
I mean, how does Ben Shepherd go in every day? Oh God, is it? Yeah, there's. What do you think is going to happen? Either it'll fall off or it won't, Ben. Probably. Let's see. Yeah, you were right. It was one of those two things happened. So at least you've got, you know, you've got to come up with anagrams. You get to do a little story about a word every day.
Yes.
It's exciting.
It is. No, I do. Yeah. I genuinely love it. And then, of course, we have the 8 out of 10 cats version.
Yes, of course.
Which I now see. I never, ever watch anything I do back, ever. So I've never watched 8 out of 10 cats, but apparently I sit there, and the way they edited it, that I sit there imperiously as if I'm looking down on everybody, which is not the truth. I laugh a lot during that
you
show.
You should look down.
Apart from when Jimmy insults me, and then I cry.
You're better than all of those people.
No, so not, and then, so it's like, do I look really stern all the way through?
I don't think so. I think you look like you're having a good time. It's interesting that Because I've tried, with Deal or No Deal, I said they should do a late night version of Deal or No Deal, where you have a poker commentary over the top saying how rubbish everything that Noel Evans is saying is, statistically. I think that would be great, you know. So I think it's interesting you can take like a format that is probably, apart from me, for the elderly people at home who are doing nothing in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And comedy cabbies. Writers.
Yeah, and shift workers.
But it's a great show. It's a great show. But I think like all these things are like, you know, I'm looking forward to being old age if I live that long so I can just do them without feeling guilty. I like doing Kakurus and Sudokus. You know, I can just do that all day. Playing Adam's Family Pinball. That's all I'm going to do. That's all I do now. I don't know why I'm waiting for 20 years.
I can tell.
But it's interesting that you can take it and make it sort of hip and mess around with it a bit, but it's still... Well, I mean, it's, you know, the game still works, but you're having sort of fun with it.
Yeah, no, we have lots of fun. The sort of agony for me and Rachel is that we're not comedians, as you can tell. And so that in the real show, I don't know how long it is on the transmitted show, but in the real show, it's about an hour before they get to us. And we've had an hour of very funny introductions, mascots, comedy, people falling over. And then Jimmy will say, "So, Susie, what's your favourite American word?" And I have to think of a favourite American word and try and be funny. And I always fail.
Yeah, so that's trying to be funny. Just tell them the answer. If I was ever on that show, I would refuse to join in with the hijinks. I would say, this is Countdown. Have some respect. Let's play it properly or not at all. There was an Edinburgh version of it, which I think was unofficial. I don't know if it was before the TV version. I don't know if someone took the idea from that. But I played Countdown in Edinburgh and it's really difficult, especially to do the numbers, I think, in the time.
Yeah.
But even if you think, oh, 30 seconds, this isn't long enough, is it? So you're thinking, you're looking
at it. And the clock is really loud if you're sitting there as well. I'm going to get you in Dictionary Corner, though.
Okay, I'll come in to Dictionary Corner.
Good, so to speak.
I'll come all over it. Not so to speak.
Don't bring a pumpkin. Actually, you could model a pumpkin. Yeah, that's how you could get it going, is you could come on in
one.
Come
and model it on Countdown.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'd probably get some publicity for the word pumpkin. What old words would you like to see make a comeback from the olden days that are, you know, they don't have to be rude ones, they can be...
They don't have to be rude. No,
they can be, but they don't have to be.
I've got so many. I thought this is my notebook that I take with me even when I'm out in a rowing boat. I take a little book with me and I always write these down, but they're a bit
odd. So in a rowing boat,
if you look
often
at that one, you'd think that last one, I don't know if you can read my writing.
My brother jacks off.
Yes. So
good to know.
So that I wrote down because it's a good example of why you need to put in an apostrophe. Because if you say, my brother Jack's off to the women's football, that's one thing, but if you miss the apostrophe. So that was just an example that I wrote down.
Just to remind yourself.
No, I just write because I heard, it was because I heard it. And yes, do you want me to carry on with
the
show?
I find this absolutely amazing. So.
Okay. These are things that, you know, I said I'm not very good with rude words.
Yes.
I've actually sent loads of tweets not realising what I was saying was quite rude. Gerbled is one, if anybody saw that. This is gerbled, J-I-R-B-L-E-D.
Right.
And I love this word because if you gerble your tea, you spill it because your hands are a bit shaky.
Okay.
And I stupidly put something like, to gerble is to spill liquid as a result of unsteady hands. So that was that one. And pooning was another one. That to poon a table is to put a little bit of cardboard underneath a wobbly leg to stabilise it, which I thought was very useful. I think I said that sometimes people need pooning as well as tables or something. Anyway, that wasn't very good, what else have I got here? Inexpressibles. Just noted that down the other day because I love that. It's just an old euphemism for trousers. So they were allowed to call somebody a lobcock, but they couldn't refer to their trousers. So they were the inexpressibles or their unmentionables.
Yeah.
With their breeches, which I quite like. These are just very random. Oh, lactose intolerant. Have you heard of egg corns?
Yes, because Adam and Joe used to do a lot of these.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites. Instead of being lactose intolerant, people are saying they're lactose intolerant, which I totally get.
And Lord of the Dance Settee is my one.
I know, I loved that, of course. Yeah. That was, I think, one of my first tweets was saying how clever that was. And I realised I was about 10 years behind everybody else. But yes, coleslaw is another one. Somebody saying I've got a massive coleslaw. Cold slaw on my lip. And someone the other day saying that they were thanking her friend for a cup of coffee. And she said, I'm internally grateful. I thought it was very good. Anyway, going back to... what were you asking me about?
I was asking you if there's any of the old words that... Because there's loads of fantastic words from the olden days that have completely fallen out of use. I mean, obviously, if you go back far enough.
Yeah.
But
I tend to just... I never really think how old they are. Because for me, they're just in my currency. So today, I was thinking about for fairly obvious reasons, about people who talk a lot about subjects they don't know very much about, and they're bloviators, and then people who talk endlessly and emptily and promise lots of things that they can't ever keep are clatterfarts, or blatteroons. I like those as well.
Yeah, those are good.
What else? So I quite like all sort of technical things as well. I don't always speak like this at home, but if you know, when your leg's gone to sleep, that is technically called obdormition. Oh. I quite like that. Nobody else does. No. Or kissing is osculation, which the Romans thought was actually really sexy, but it doesn't sound very sexy. Osculating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
What I get a lot on Twitter is if you make a mistake on Twitter, like grammatically, like 9 items or less, those sort of things, people get very angry about them. But I think that this evolution of language, right, which I think is a beautiful thing, that a word completely changes its meaning as it goes along. So now 9 items or less is the correct thing to say now. So whenever anyone says that, I say, as long as you're speaking Anglo-Saxon the rest of the time. You know, because language changes.
It does change. And it's not that that is correct.
Yeah.
It's... can I put that? Because we talk about standard or non-standard. So when you work with dictionaries, you don't say, this is how you've got to say something. So the fact that people are saying from the gecko instead of from the get-go, ultimately, that may change.
Yeah.
So... another one, which is not quite as funny, but it's a good example, is today we curry favour. But originally, it was to curry favel, F-A-V-E-L. And favel was this mythical horse in a legend about how some servants wanted to suck up to their king. So they would literally get a curry comb and comb this horse in order to suck up to the king.
Yeah.
But nobody knows who favel is, and favor makes sense. We stuck that in. So, you know, things will replace... The wrong ones will replace the right versions over time if enough people use them.
And is there a day when you come in and they go, oh, it's changed now, this today? So that is now it is curry favour. Yesterday we'd have told him off, but now it's allowed.
No, you see, we never tell off. Lex Gulbers knows. John Humphreys tells off, but we never do. But yeah, we do have strange discussions about that. And what we look at are these vast databases of current language where you can see... which one is in the ascendancy and which one's not. So 5 items or less used to be non-standard, but now it's sort of just as standard. And 1700s, kings and queens used to say ain't, and they would have said less then as well. So a lot of things we think of as being wrong, like disinterested, used to mean uninterested a long time ago. So the good excuse you can use to anybody who corrects you on your grammar is, well, back in 1400, that was right.
Yeah.
So
it was, and it changes to get over it.
It does. And words have these incredible journeys, as you say. I love word histories. That's my passion.
Yeah.
Word histories.
Well, it's fascinating, but it is. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm not. And how do you choose the new? There's new words every year, right? And most of them the word of the year, and then you never hear about them again.
Yes.
How do they decide which? Were there any words from 2016 that are going to go in the dictionary that you know of now? Brexit, perhaps.
Brexit. I'm just hoping that's not going to be word of the year, because I tend to do the some of the PR for the word of the year, and last year was very controversial, as you probably know, because they chose an emoji. They chose the crying with laughter emoji. Which is making a point about language, that it's pictorial, etc.
Something should not change.
Papers didn't like that one.
I can't see emojis because I'm going too blind. So if there's a tweet with an emoji and I don't know what, I just see a little blob there.
I thought I was the only person in the world that hadn't paid extra for all the emojis, because people seem to have an emoji for every situation, don't they?
Well,
not you.
Youngsters. Grow up. Just right, someone with the hearts in their eyes looking happy. What's wrong with doing that?
No, you can write out the words.
Yeah.
I know we keep talking about penises, but didn't aubergine mean penis at some point, I think?
I think
people would write down aubergine because the emoji became banned.
Yeah, is it because the emoji of the emoji looks like an aubergine? The aubergine emoji looks like a penis.
I think that, yeah.
I believe that.
Anyway, so now
so what's
right
coming up in 2016? What's going to be in the dictionary next year?
That's a very good point. Yeah. Well, it won't be in the dictionary because it'll take a while. This is the boring answer. But I don't know. The Oxford Word of the Year choice is always quite an interesting panel discussion, because it's not a group of people with beards, women included, in a dusty library poring over volumes. We're quite normal, sort of. I'm trying to now avoid the question of what's going to be up this year, because it's been so dominated by Brexit, isn't it? I don't have any strong candidates apart from that one this year.
Okay.
Not yet.
Or
pumpkin, maybe.
It's kind of difficult to make up new words, though. Right? Most of them are just like two words put together, like a broken down car that you've
got. There's only about 1% that are entirely new. Because most of them are blends.
When I was at school, we tried to popularise the phrase, which I then carried on trying to popularise, of Cheg on, meaning bad luck.
Cheg on.
You go Cheg on.
What?
Cheg on.
Was that to do with Cheggers?
I think it might have come from Keith Chegwin.
Yeah.
Originally, ironically, that someone should copy something off of him. But it's... I think Kevin... If it ever gets in, I think Kevin Adams started saying it. He was just a kid at my school. And then he... me and my mate started saying a lot. And then I started saying... In Fist of Fun, I say, Cheg on, Pied Piper, you am a twat. Where's that in the dictionary? That's been on the telly, so that should be in.
Okay.
You're an idiot.
Yeah, I got that.
Yeah. Which is because when I was at college, we had a bread rotor thing on the wall, which was a sort of joke. We kind of put up loads of... We had a bread rotor for whose turn it was to look at the rotor. I made loads of stupid charts. One of them was of whose turn it was to buy the bread. And we had all different funny names, and it said Paul Twat Nathan. That was his nickname. And Paul Nathan's mum came and read it, and she said, "What is a twat?" So that's from then on, twat became twat. So that's I should put that in the dictionary. And
okay.
This is
a geeky thing coming up, but the first reference of that word was about 1300. I think it was a reference to nuns.
Right.
There was just lots going on in those days.
Where's the soap? Was it that?
No. Maybe.
Where's the soap? Yes, it does. Come on. That's got to be that old, is that joke? All right, I'm going to ask... Let's see what emergency questions I can give to you.
Does that mean I've been terrible?
No, it doesn't mean... No one's ever got this far without an emergency question.
Okay.
But most of them I would be too... What would you call a man who can suck his own cock? That is my... What would be the name... What is the name for that in the dictionary?
Is this a joke?
No.
Oh.
I want to know the answer.
Okay, I'm going to switch this round a bit while I ponder on that one. And there is a word for, it's called autolutrophilist, and it's somebody who drinks their own bath water.
Wow.
Yeah. Should you ever want to do that? And arachnobutinophobia, it is made up, so I can't remember it, but it's the fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, I have no idea
is
the answer to your first question.
You should be ready for that. Because what I like about you is the idea of you is that, you know, you're my ideal woman because we could just be in bed and I just go, what's the definition of that? And you go, is this?
Okay, try me.
Don't even need to get a dictionary. Just go.
Oh, you mean
think of the money you've saved on a dictionary there. That is 12 quid. 12 quid, 15 quid.
Yeah.
So
romantic.
Your husband's a lucky man, that is all I'm saying. Eggers, anytime.
He never asks me for any definition. Ever.
I would ask you all the time. You are married to me. You'd be defining all the time.
You'd be asking me,
can I stay in at work? You'll come home from a long day of defining stuff. When I get home, I just want to not define anything, all right? I don't want to know what the definition of stuff is. I'm relaxing. You'd hate being married to me.
But you want a word factory. You want somebody to make the words out of your definitions, don't you? That's what you really want.
Yeah, well, I want to say, what's the word? How do I pronounce approbation? I can never get that right.
Yeah?
Got that right. And it's the other one. It's the... what's the one I can't pronounce? There's one I can't pronounce. It's a bit like that. Opprobrium.
Very good. Opprobrium.
Yeah, I can never pronounce that. I say opprobrium every
opprobrium.
Time. Yeah. And you could go, no, it's not. Like, you say, look at these funny squiggles. Like, I don't understand them. And you say, well, I do. And it's opprobrium.
I think by that point, I'd be giving you a slap.
And does that... I always get opprobrium and disopprobrium confused. I don't know what it means. What does opprobrium mean?
Opprobrium.
Yeah.
It's like censure. It's like...
See,
criticism.
I always think it means praise.
No, it's the opposite.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I can't say it and I get it wrong. I look like a total dick.
Oh, I just thought you'd be casting nasturtiums. That's another one that I love.
Okay.
Casting nasturtiums on people.
Have you ever seen a Bigfoot? So you see in your travels? Your travels
that
around
is an emergency question.
From York and Leeds. No.
Have you seriously got that written down?
Yeah, that's
let's see if I've got
questions.
Any written down for you here. Okay, what is a slang wang?
What is a slang wang?
Yeah. Actually, that's another example. I didn't know that wang was... I had no idea. Slang wang is just a slang party.
It's a slang party.
A bang wang.
Yeah.
Slang party. A bang wang.
I don't
is...
eat.
In a good way or a bad way?
What's happening to me? Am I drifting in and out? I've got the Susie Dent from off the telly.
No, they have to. And have you not heard of slang parties? You know, in India, they have laughter clubs.
Okay.
You heard of laughter clubs? Laughter clubs, answer. You just go to... They have laughter yoga.
Yeah.
And seriously,
okay.
They go to these gatherings in order to be made to laugh. It's a bit like people are here today.
You'd hope, wouldn't you?
And... It just fills you with, you know, endorphins and good things. So they have laughter yoga, but also they have sort of like slang. It's a bit like a rapping contest.
Okay.
But they have just throw slang at each other anyway. I thought it sounded fun.
It does sound fun. Have you got what it takes to be a spy?
Yes.
Yeah.
I always wanted to be a spy.
Yeah, you could be a spy.
I've just written a book on the kind of codes of different groups of people.
Yeah.
The kind of like modern tribes. So comedians be one of them. Comedians were some of the hardest.
That's one of our codes. Yeah. Means bad luck.
I have to write that one down. But I did spies and I did Freemasons.
Oh, yeah.
They were very interesting. Did you know there's more than one Freemason's handshake? There are loads of them.
I didn't know.
Yeah. So
then do you have to be in the Freemasons for a while to find out the next one up? Or do they know about them, all of them, straight away?
No, I think it's just sort of passed on. You have to be male, so I wasn't privy to any of these, sadly. And spies have their own sort of body language as well. I really would have loved to have been a spy. Wouldn't everybody?
Could still be a spy.
This is great MI5 ad, job advert that said, see all your best work go unnoticed, which I thought was perfect. I would have answered that one.
How would I have answered it? Or you would have answered.
Yeah.
When we first went to Edinburgh, we stayed in a Masonic lodge.
Mm.
And that was where we all just slept on the floor. And we kind of broke into all their cupboards to see what the magic stuff was in there. They had a TARDIS in their basement.
A TARDIS?
They had a TARDIS.
A real TARDIS?
Well, you know, no.
What kind of TARDIS?
I was tempted to, yeah, and we travelled in time and space.
No,
it looked like a TARDIS. It was like, but it was like slightly hexagonal, but it was a blue box that you could go inside.
It was probably a prop, because they have these great initiation ceremonies,
yeah,
which play on people's, yeah, I mean, they're quite funny, apparently,
right,
and they play on people's jobs or, you know, tastes or whatever. Yeah. So it was probably a riffing off somebody's personal taste for Doctor Who.
Could be, or just police, because it's like the police boxes in, well, that's what it is, isn't it? But Edinburgh still has those police boxes.
Yeah.
Good. That is a good answer to my question. Congratulations.
What was the question?
No, I don't know. Here's a question. I've stolen emergency questions from other people. This is MarshallJonesJr.com. These are 100 questions to ask people. This is one of the questions. Have you ever tried sushi?
My name is always spelled sushi. Whenever anybody spell checks their documents, I come out as Sushi Den. Oh. So, yes, I love sushi.
Yes, most people have. It's an odd question. Do you have, like, I was talking to Vic Rees about this last week. I've got a celebrity shag list with my wife of the 5 people we're allowed to have sex with. Have you got that? Have you got 5 celebrities that you would be allowed to have sex with?
Allowed to?
Yeah,
or
your
to.
Husband would say it's fine because they're on the list. You've got to have a laminated.
Arsene Wenger would be one of them, but he's a massive Arsenal fan. And
so he wouldn't mind if your
probably
husband.
Probably not. I'm the only person in the world who has a crush on Arsene, I think. Well,
He's probably had
crush.
Sex before, I reckon. Probably.
No, as in a big crush. I think he's amazing. So Arsene would definitely be one of them.
Okay.
This is going slightly off topic.
Oh, yeah.
But I had to, I wanted to be in Lee Mack's sitcom Going Out the other day, where I had this cameo role. I'm hoping it will have gone out, but when does this go out?
A couple of months.
Okay. I think it will have hopefully gone out by then, but in which I was Hugh Dennis's, I think probably weird crush, but he said secret crush. I'm always, it's really insulting to be told you're a weird crush, isn't it?
You're not a weird crush.
I think I am. Danny Dyer said I was his weird crush on Radio 1. I've never been so upset.
Ridiculous.
I don't think weird crush is good.
And nor accurate. You're a perfectly acceptable crush.
No, I think I definitely... I work alongside Rachel, after all. But anyway, in this scene,
yeah,
I had
fuck
to...
Yeah. A few women going, oh, yeah, fuck.
Oh, no, she's astonishing.
She's got the whole package, hasn't she?
She has.
The new maths. See, with her, I'd be going... I'd be in bed and going, what, 7 times 5? Bang. And straight away, she wouldn't even have to think.
It's true. So don't go any further about
that's
having
all I want.
Dictionary and maths together. Anyway,
Lee Mack thing. You're not a weird crush.
So I had to get in and out of it. Have you ever acted in a
act? I have acted, and I continually the last year.
What have I done?
Nothing.
The
parts I'm getting now are all the blokes who go to prostitutes, and I'm very angry about it.
Really?
Because I've never been to a prostitute.
That's worse than a weird crush.
I don't know. This guy doesn't have to pay. Look at that. That's my money. That's the moneymaker. So I keep on getting like either weird men who've done strange things to themselves, or men who go to escorts. You know, I like to accept the work, but...
Is this for telly? Because I do tell you I don't watch telly. So
no, it's not. No, it's, okay. I wish... No, I don't. It's just... it's for pornography, mainly. I do some acting, yes, but not very
well,
much.
This was one scene in which Emma Bunton was there as well, who was Lee Mack's crush.
Weird crush.
No, did not come into it, strangely.
No, okay.
And I had to get in and out of a hot tub.
Right.
Sort of 15 times. Anyway, knowing that I was a weird crush, it was just not a very good feeling.
What would be worse if that is never on the telly, that you just, you two tune in. Why is that hot tub scene going? They just called me in to get in and out of the hot tub 15 times.
Yeah, possibly. But it just, the whole thing took about 6 hours.
Yeah, to it's a long time.
It does, because I'm just used to kind of almost as live telly. So anyway, that I mentioned that because we're talking about people that you would be allowed to shag. Who would you be allowed to?
Well, I've gone over it a lot. I'm trying to think of I'm very interested in Rebecca from CBeebies now. She's not really on my list. Anne Widdicombe.
Anne Widdicombe. Yeah. Oh, and the mum in Topsy and Tim.
Yeah, that's
right. I've seen you tweet about her.
Yeah, she's
I think
nice.
Lots of men have a crush on the mum.
Yeah, she's
nice.
But now I've seen Rebecca. That's
I don't think I've seen Rebecca.
She's great.
Okay, so you watch CBeebies on your own.
I did watch. I've started watching Let's Play on my own. I realised the day I was just watching a bit and there was no baby around. I thought, yeah, this is. I've got a problem.
Yeah, I would say.
There's one where she's a tennis player. That's a good one. And there's one where she's. She's a tennis player, right?
What programme is it?
It's called Let's Play.
I've seen her as a pirate.
The idea of the show is that. Rebecca and this other guy live in a house together for some reason.
Yeah,
and
I've seen this.
Suddenly, every now and again, a noise comes and they go, oh, who will it be? Whose turn will it be? And then one of them goes into a magic room where they get to play and they get dressed up as something and they go and play. So the tennis player one, which I was very interested to see. Rebecca becomes a tennis player and then goes to play the world's best tennis player, but she's never played tennis before. And so she gets a tennis coach and the coach says, yeah, you have to do this. Here, you have to do this, that's it. And then she plays against the best tennis player in the world.
Did they have the best tennis player in the world?
It was the other guy who was playing, his name,
not a cameo.
In him.
Okay.
What's his name?
New balls, please.
Have you been masturbating over there?
Sid.
Have you been gerbling? Sid's on it, yeah. He plays the other guy, but she manages to play quite well against the best tennis player in the world. And then halfway through the thing, he goes, oh, that's gone out. She says, what does that mean? She's playing the world tennis. It's ridiculous, so unrealistic. And it sets up, you know, my daughter might be watching that thinking, oh, I just have to pick up a tennis racket and do that, and then I can be the best tennis player. It takes a lot of hard work to become the best tennis player in the world. So, anyway, that's it. That's all I have to say about Let's Play. It doesn't seem to resonate with my audience this so much. It's my frame of reference has changed now, and I've left my audience behind. They loved it when I talked about 1970s television that no one remembered, but when I talk about... So she's nice, yeah. So, Rebecca, if you know, do you meet all the people off the telly and parties and
Alex,
stuff?
I see quite a lot up in Media City from CBeebies.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. No, you're not that interested in Alex. No, okay.
Is it a bloke?
Not Rebecca, it's a broke bloke.
Sid's quite nice, I do quite like Sid.
And Justin has had a...
Yeah.
Yeah, he's had a dressing room quite close to me, but I've never seen him.
Wow.
It's a bit sad.
What about Mr. Tumble? Have you ever seen him?
No. No.
Okay.
Or any of the others.
No, they're good.
He plays, he is very good. Yeah. Tireless.
He's a bit weird, but he's good. Something a bit odd going on there.
I said nothing.
Let's hope not.
Okay, I only came up with one. I'll send.
Yeah, well,
yeah. I think that would be
one.
About it.
It's a good choice. If you had to jump into a pool of something, what would you choose to jump into?
Jelly.
Would you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, you're not worried about that. I think once you've got, if it's a deep pool of jelly, that's going to be hard to escape. I mean, it's fun as you're jumping in.
I haven't really thought it through.
And then you're sucked into the jelly.
Yeah.
And then you're stuck in jelly, and then you drown in jelly, which is nice for the first bit.
This is Ben and Holly. We're going to get back to
them. Oh, really?
Yeah, they go into a jelly flood. They have a jelly flood in Ben and Holly. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, let's get off kids' TV.
You've got kids, right? So it's all right.
I have, yeah. It's all right for me to watch Mr. Tumble.
Well, I got poked in the eye by my daughter today, and it really hurts. What's the worst thing your children have done to you to injure you?
To injure me,
yeah.
I was going to say probably ask me what the C word was in the supermarket. To injure me, well, we have pillow fights a lot. So I have, I think I've fallen off the bed a few times. I'm just trying to think. Oh, yes, I did get, we were playing, you know, you can play, we used to call it French cricket with a tennis racket and the ball. Yeah, I did get the tennis racket put somewhere that was very painful.
Oh,
yeah. I've forgotten all about that. Thanks. That's a very weird question. Was that from the same person who asked about sushi?
No, that's from me.
It's the worst child-related injury.
Why do we have frozen peas? That's what I need to find out. My wife asked me the other day why we have frozen peas. Why do we have frozen peas?
You can get fresh peas.
Yeah, you can, but generally... Generally, we have our peas frozen, but no other vegetable. I mean, you can get frozen vegetables, but you don't always have the frozen
broccoli.
I'll
tell you why. It's because it locks in the vitamin C.
Well, it's... Not as much as just eating it naturally. I won't ask you that one.
Oh.
It wouldn't make sense. What's the worst rumour you've ever heard about yourself? Have you ever heard any rumours about yourself that aren't true?
Rumours. Wikipedia. Yeah. Wikipedia is always wrong about me, and I've always thought I never want to change it because I'm a hugely private person, and I always quite like the idea that nobody knows very much about me. So for a while, it wasn't the worst one. It was actually quite funny. For a while, I was in prison in Cambodia, and I was married to a paperclip billionaire.
Wow!
I never knew if that meant I was married to a paperclip or whether he was a billionaire through paperclips.
Do you think you'd become a bit? You have to sell a lot of paperclips to become a billionaire. Don't you? I mean, there can't be get much per paperclip.
I like the way your mind works.
You'd have to sell like 100 million paperclips.
Probably.
There must be not even a novel billion, paper clips. Probably more than that. And one of them is made out of pure gold with diamonds on it, and that one costs £1 billion. Do you stay friends with the contestants from Countdown? Because they look like the kind of people you'd quite like to hang around with.
This is the thing I love about Countdown is that we do not get the contestants on for their sort of telliness.
No.
So they don't kind of, shout or jump up and down or,
do any of that crazy stuff. Is what I thought you said, but that is probably true
they
also.
They do shout. There's actually quite, and I'll use the word family again, but for every Countdown final, you'll probably have half the audience will be previous champions and things coming back, and most of them are very normal and he doesn't believe me, and in fact all of them are really normal, and they're genuinely
suddenly changed lovely. All of them are. Well, I don't know who I was thinking of there.
You'll see if you come, you will see. And also they have pens and papers on the chairs, so everybody could get stuck in. This is sounding so geeky, but even for Cats Does Countdown, people play along.
Yeah, when they're cleaning the seats from the audience afterwards.
Which audience are you thinking?
On Countdown, is there a rule that you're not allowed to have really rude words? Because there was one episode of Countdown where you, D, F, C, K, E were in the nine.
Yeah.
Went for five-letter words. And I can see a six-letter word there.
Yes.
So they're not. Were they not allowed? Did they go, I've got it, it's fucked? And you went, no, you can't have that. Come back with...
Because there's specific watersheds, so you can have wanker, for example, but it's beeped out, which is very strange.
Yeah.
But people can offer it. But no. This is what I mean. Yes.
A thing could come down saying the word that was chosen was two row, but was six letters. It should be, it shouldn't matter. Yeah. It's the I can't believe people went for five-letter words.
I'm not sure they did. I think we might have had to replay that round if I remember rightly. But yeah, there are very strange watersheds. So gobshite is fine.
Yes.
And I'm trying to think of other ones that we have allowed. But yeah, no, the watersheds are quite tight with Channel 4.
Yeah.
So we do tend to avoid them.
I think it should be allowed, and then just public. It should say the word that was chosen. There should be a like Blue Peter when someone takes cocaine. Someone comes on and goes, "We're really sorry, Richard Bacon did that. He won't do it again. We promise." So someone should come on and go, "We're sorry. The word the man came up with was too rude to say. But I mean, look at the letters. It's obvious what it is." And if you know, you know. And if it's the same with the child looking up a word in the dictionary, you're not going to chance across that. You're not going to get to F. So. Once you've got to see, you go, That's what I've got.
Have you got your... It's a daughter, isn't it?
I have,
Have you got her a dictionary yet? Or is she still tiny?
No, she's too tiny. She's 16 months old, okay. So she's not able to read. She enjoys... She likes books. She really likes books. Yeah, we go to the library when there's do singing and dancing and stuff. She just goes away. She won't listen to any of that. She just goes and picks books off the shelves. Aww. Doesn't, you know, she, just pictures and stuff. She's an idiot. No, she's good.
But don't get her an adult dictionary, is what I was going to suggest.
Well, no, I think it's good. That was so much fun, that naughtiness of looking. I mean,
start with the child's one, Richard.
Yeah, but what rude words are going to be in that? I've got to train her up to be a comedian. I'm going to train her up to be a comedian.
Okay.
So it's very important. I've decided that for her.
Do you
she's
try
going to, she's going to avenge my failed career by being the best comedian ever, and then when she is...
She's just been completely endorsed by me saying, have you ever acted?
Correct. Well, no, you know, I wouldn't say acted because I inhabit the parts so well. So can you get Kumpkin in, Chegg on? Probably out of them, Ask Stargate was probably the best one out of them.
What's your favourite words, though?
My favourite word?
Yeah.
Oh, there's so many to choose from.
Yeah.
I like crepuscular.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Richard Whiteley's was moonset, which kind of links in with that.
Similar area. Yeah. What's your favourite? What's the best
word?
Well,
crepuscular is lovely, but dimpsey is also beautiful. That's from Devon and it means twilight.
Dimpsey?
Dimpsey.
Dimpsey.
Dimpsey. It's a bit dimpsey out there.
Oh,
I love that.
That is nice.
Yes.
Well, you know, it's sort of like we've got to a natural end, and we were talking about twilight and moonlight.
And we're all in the twilight years.
I'm just going to have a little nap. Yeah. Then we'll come back and talk about some more. What is this? I've had a 5-minute nap. How's the football going?
Oh, yeah. Anyone know?
What? What an embarrassment this country is. An awful embarrassment. Look, it's been really lovely to have you on.
Thank you.
Massive fan, and you're not a weird crush. And Rachel Riley is not that, is she?
Yeah, Rachel, so, if you're listening, he's giving you a thumbs up.
Let her know. If she knows Rebecca from CBeebies, we can maybe work something out between the three of us. But that is... That's as far as I will go with. Thank you so much for coming on. Ladies and gentlemen, Susie Dent!
Thank you.
You have been listening to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, brainy Susie Dent. The music is by Pest. That also means, as well as being a band, that is a type of insect that will eat your crops. It's a dictionary-based show. Thank you very much to everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre. It's not even in Leicester. That's how confusing that is. Thank you to everyone at Go Faster Strike. Thank you to everyone at the British Comedy Guide. Thank you very much to the sound recordist, George. He is very good at his job. Thank you to my producer, Ben Walker, who has not turned up for these credits, so I can call him a dick again. And thank you also to everyone at Fuzz, Go Faster Stripe and Sky Potato Limited for producing this show as well. It's been quite fun. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you like this stuff, help us out. Buy a little badge, my friend. That's all I ask of you. GoFasterStripe.com/badges. We've done hundreds of these things now. If you've never donated, just go and chuck a quid or two in and that will help us make some more. If you have donated already, thank you very much. Or just tell your friends about the podcast and maybe one of them will be nice enough to give us £1. That's less than 1p a podcast. All right, see you later. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.